Okay, we want to proceed now to page 6. We've been speaking about truth, but now we want to look at a way in which we can begin to understand how we see the truth. And there's 3 different levels of seeing truth. The first, on line 1, write physical, the physical stage. And I also want to mention at this time is that there is a sacred code for all of the answers in case you happen to miss one as we're going along. That sacred code is on page 50 of the workbook. And so if you've missed something or whatever, all of the answers to every line of every syllabus page is back on the sacred code. So the physical stage, this is the literal interpretation that is concerned primarily with facts and upholding the exact meaning of a word. In this, we can only conceive of or see what can be experienced through our physical senses. And so at the beginning stage of our search for wisdom, what we turn to is the ancient sacred scriptures and teachings of truth to get answers to the mystery of life. However, at this stage, we can only comprehend the literal meaning of the Bible, so that every story in the Bible or every allegory becomes literal to us because we don't have the eyes to see it yet, because we're still focused only on seeing things literally. We haven't developed an inner faith that allows us to abstract a story and get the higher meaning out of it. So in the beginning, our search for truth is literal. And at this stage, we're seeking truth. We're out there looking for it, seeking it, and so we primarily only engage it with our senses, and when we read scriptures literally. All fundamental religion reads scripture literally, because fundamental religion is a seeking religion. We're seeking to know truth. And at the beginning stages of the soul's evolution, we have all been in fundamental religion in one form or another. And there's fundamental Buddhism, like there's fundamental Hinduism, there's fundamental Islam, and there's fundamental Christianity. And at this stage, the seeking is of a literal interpretation of truth. But what happens with this literal interpretation of truth, there's an intuitive recognition that starts to work in our soul that gives us hope for something greater. We may not be able to touch that greater yet, but by reading the truth, reading the sacred scriptures, there's a inspiration, if you will, of hope that begins to move in us. And we see in scripture how people overcame. And so we think, you know, we hope that in what's given in the scriptures that we can learn to overcome too. And so at this stage, hope is developed and there's a literal translation of scripture. Now then we move to the receiving the truth stage, or what would be the mental stage on line 2, mental. And this is the metaphysical level. In other words, there's a physical level, and now we're at an abstract or the metaphysical level, and we're at the level of thought here. We're not just at the level of the literal physicalness of the senses, but we're at the level of thought. And so here, at this stage of seeing, in other words, in the scriptures and the stories, we begin to extract or extrapolate the truth that's in a story. Like in Jesus's parable, the one that I always have loved over the years is the pearl of great price. And so when Jesus told the merchant to go sell everything and buy the one pearl of great price, at the literal level, we interpret that I've got to sell everything I have and go buy this actual pearl, a beautiful pearl, a big, perfectly spherically shaped pearl, and then I will enter the kingdom of heaven. Well, at that level, that's the interpretation that the merchant got, and the merchant walked away, says, I can't do that. I can't sell everything for that. Where we understand at the metaphysical level, you know, at the level of thought, we begin to extract a higher teaching out of that parable, And we, you know, we ask, what's really happening here? What is Jesus asking of us? To go sell our attachment to the things of the world and seek the pearl of great price, which is self-knowledge of our own divine nature. So it's not a literal pearl. In the Eastern tradition, we would say it was the blue pearl of the opening of the third eye of enlightenment. But even in Jesus, we might even say it's the pearl of love. And so at this stage, we begin to receive answers. In other words, we begin to extract the wisdom out of what we're reading. And the words of Scripture begin to take on deeper symbolic meaning. And we have the eyes to see and the ears to hear now truth at a much deeper level or a higher level of realization. Because we begin to realize that the principles within the Scripture apply to our very own lives. And this realization instills a feeling of trust in us, of trust in the Lord. It was an astounding realization for me when I sat with my beloved Bible teacher, Dr. Paul Barrett, who has since passed on, who was one of the great teachers of the Unity movement. And he was the last student of George Lamza. He studied the last 10 years as a private student of George Lamza's life. George Lamza, who was the Assyrian, who knew Aramaic, was of a came from a very, very small hill community village that still spoke Aramaic. And all of the doors of the Vatican and the Eastern Church were open to Lamza. And he did a translation of the Bible directly from the ancient Aramaic manuscripts. And so Paul said this to me in a way that I could hear it. I'm sure that at some time before, in my early childhood or later years, that somebody had said this to me. But it didn't register till Paul said it. And he told me that whatever problem you are facing, there is somebody in the Scripture who has faced that very same problem. Now, the form may be a little different, but the dynamic would be the same. It's not about how many cows I have. It's about, you know, what I'm getting paid for my job. But the dynamic of the problem, somebody in Scripture has faced it. And in Scripture is the answer to how they faced it and were delivered. And there was something about that that made Scripture so personal. And I began to see it with new eyes, with from a higher realization of truth, because I had reached that metaphysical interpretation. And in fact, guess what? The name of the class I was in with Paul was Metaphysical Bible Interpretation. And so here we are, that understanding that takes us up. Now, the third level of seeing the stages of truth is a spiritual stage on line 3, the spiritual stage. And this is the mystical school where we become the truth. We are being the truth. And the mystical level is when we have a spiritual reality that is based upon direct communion with God and founded on inner subjective experience, inner subjective knowing. There is nothing to compare. I don't care how many times somebody talks of peace, but that first time when you sat in meditation and the veil of peace just comes over you from the inside. It's not anything anybody's done from the outside. Sweet music wasn't played. It wasn't about getting a massage. Although those things are wonderful and can produce, you know, peaceful experiences at the outer level. But from the inner realization of truth, to have that sense of peace. And then what we're talking about here is being that sense of peace, to walk into a room and bring that sense of peace to a room, to sit in a meeting and bring that sense of peace to a meeting. And I have a story about Lloyd, which he has told from time to time. But I have seen this in him. He was president of the board when I went to the Golden Gate Church in Sausalito. And over my 5 years there, what I learned is that if there was any important meeting to be had, I wanted Lloyd present. Because he would bring a consciousness of equanimity and peace to whatever was taking place. And so if we were going to, at a board meeting, be facing some difficult questions or facing difficult issues within the church, I would have Lloyd present at the meeting. And he told me that he worked for the city of San Rafael at the time, assistant director of public works. And so he had a lot to do with community relations, interfacing with community relations about public work projects, as well as to relate to the mayor and the government structure of the county. And so what would happen is he would go to these city council meetings, and the city council president would remark from time to time to Lloyd that, gee, when you're here, everything works. And that's what he did sometimes. He supported his boss, the director, by just going with him and showing up at a meeting and never saying a word. But in a sense, he was meditating the whole meeting out of his presence of being that mystical truth, that mystical spiritual presence. And so at this stage, we now begin to develop the heart to feel the changeless reality of truth. To touch that thing that never changes in us, our own divinity. And this reality of our own divinity now lives in us, and we become a center for its expression in the world. We become an opening. And how we have talked about that is that we become a center or an opening for the activity of God to enter the world. Because here's what we know from the teachings of Ernest Holmes. It can only come through individual consciousness. Love doesn't come through those blinds. It doesn't come through these chairs. It can only be made manifest in the world through individual consciousness. So at this stage, we are an opening for that expression of God to enter the world, whatever quality of God we're identifying with. And it's like in the scriptures where Jesus is talking about, I am the vine, ye are the branches. The whole scripture there about love, and because he's willing to be the vine, the branches get fed with love. And yet now is the time for us to be willing to be the vine for the opening of Christ to feed those who come into our company, to feed those in love who are around us. And so that is this stage that we're pointing to. So we become a center, and what happens is that the Bible is no longer a book outside of us, but it becomes a tool to simply look into the wisdom that is within it. And in a sense, this is how we're going to use Yogananda's book all year. We're going to look into the wisdom that he realized, because that's what he's sharing in the pages of this book. So his spirit, his anointing is upon this writing. We're opening our minds and our hearts, in our eyes, in our ears, to look into that in order that we might realize it then within ourselves. Because what Yogananda is pointing to is a universal truth that we can each individualize. That's why we're here, to individualize that truth, to become an individual center for its revelation of bringing good into the world. And so by engaging in these writings of Yogananda, what we're saying is that we're willing to become that center to reveal that in our experience of life and thus serve others in the way that he is served as a world server and a teacher. That we would serve others in the way that he served out of the realization that was his in the writings that he gave. And so the Bible is no longer a book outside of us, or we might say Yogananda's Second Coming is no longer a book outside of us, but it becomes a tool to simply look into the wisdom that is within us. And at this highest stage, we serve others by revealing the wisdom of God as the truth uniquely living through us in our own being. And this is when we literally become a light unto the world. And we begin to experience love as the true inherent nature of our being. That when the Christ is resurrected within us, fully, and it doesn't happen in one moment, it happens over a long period of evolving through our work, that when the Christ is resurrected within us, we become that center of love through which we serve the world in love and others are blessed by the light that is given through us.